Well, as has been alluded to last week, we'll back up a week ago Sunday. The previous week, we had lots of issues in our building. It was crazy. First, we learned on Wednesday the copier didn't work anymore. It's fried. Then on Saturday, Greg was doing some training here on the computer, and we learned that we had no connection to the projectors. So we didn't know if we'd be able to make that work on Sunday heading in. And then as we got here and we're already facing some adversity, then we learned we didn't have a soundboard. So up until probably about 10:30, as you can imagine, we already have a lot to do in the morning before a service gets started. And then we have, hey, we don't know if we have sound today. And so up until about 10:30, our sound engineers were working on it, scrambling. And I was thinking about canceling the service. Because what good is a service if you can't hear anything, I was thinking. We didn't even have a projector. And we were wearing masks when we sing. It's not like you can even read lips if you have that option or see the words. So if you can't hear it, if you can't see it, why do it? But fortunately, the God who is a way maker and miracle worker worked a miracle, and these guys were able to work around everything that was broken and get us some sound. So it was pretty remarkable. But as we talk about sound and hearing, different problems about can I hear it, today I want to ask, do you ever have struggles where you feel like you can't hear something that you need to really hear? Maybe there's a message that you just feel like you should get and you feel like you're missing out in some way, or there's just something you think you should know, or maybe everybody else knows it, or maybe there's just some missing piece, some secret knowledge, some information, something that you need to know, something you need to hear, and you just can't hear it. Since this is a church gathering, let's even go to God and hearing from God. Do you ever have problems, or do you ever wonder about hearing from God and what that is like? I don't know. We're all probably on a different spectrum of where we are and hearing from God and what we even believe about it, but maybe you wonder why God seems to speak to other people, but not to you. Or maybe it's been a long time and you remember times in your past where you just really believed that God was talking to you, showing you some things, but it's been a pretty long, dry, quiet season. And maybe you even wonder if God even speaks to you anymore. There's something in you that feels dry. Maybe you doubt that even there's a creator that speaks to people, and you've heard people say God said or whatever, and you doubt their sanity. You think they might be crazy because it just seems like maybe God doesn't even do those kind of things, that there are people hearing voices. Or maybe you don't even believe there is a creator. You don't believe that there's somebody who made this world, let alone hear from him. But I want to pause for a second and say, whatever you believe about God, if you're not a Christian, whether here or online, we want you to know we're so glad to have you with us. We're thankful. We respect you. And we hope that something, wherever you are, something that you hear from us or see from us is helpful to you in some way. But wherever we are on that spectrum of what we think that God is saying and how God can talk, and if, you know, wherever we are on that spectrum, I think all of us can relate to this idea that we wonder if there's something we need to hear and that we're just not getting it. So today we're going to look in the scriptures about a story of someone who had a couple of mountaintop experiences and what happened about hearing after these mountaintop experiences. So today we're going to go into it, a little background. Today's story is about a guy named Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of the Lord, and he had this mountaintop experience on a mountain called Mount Carmel. He had a showdown with a lot of other 850 other opponents, and the people were watching. And the Lord really had this powerful moment when he sent fire from heaven and showed who he was, the God who could send fire from heaven. And the people were turning back to the Lord. And Elijah was just so high that he ran down the mountain, and he was going so fast that it said he outran the king's chariots. So this guy was just like, he was up there. He hit the pinnacle. He had this experience where it was like God showed up in a big way. But after he came down, he came crashing down. And he didn't just come off the mountain, and he was not just lower, he wasn't just in a lower place in the world. He was low emotionally. Like he hit this nasty depression because he had the high, he came down, and the queen threatened to take his life. Keep in mind, he just faced off, the king was there, 850 prophets against him, the people there, and he had this great moment. But then as he came down off the mountain, he sunk low. He was depressed. He was in despair, and he was so discouraged and downed that as he left, he ran away. He tried to escape, and he begged God to take his life. He despaired even of life. He asked God to kill him now. And so he just, at that low point, and then the Lord leads him back up to another mountain. This mountain was called Oreb. And so that's where we're going to take today's story. This is in 1 Kings 19:11. So Elijah's back on his second mountaintop after he had already been at Carmel and had the fire come down from heaven, and then the valley where he was depressed and despairing of life and felt awful. And now he's back on up another mountain. And this is what it says. Maybe God's going to speak to him again. Maybe God's going to do something. And lo and behold, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. Now, Elijah had just spent a lot of time in the valley where it was quiet. It said he was fed by ravens. There was like, he was out. There was nobody around. He's probably pretty lonely. Maybe he started talking to those ravens. I don't know. Like, I'm just now thinking of Tom Hanks in the movie where he has the beach ball Wilson. You know, he's so alone. So he's had all this quiet, lonely time. Even the ravens are his company. And now the silence is shattered, and it's so loud. The noise is back. Something is happening. Let's see what the next words are. But the Lord was not in the wind. Okay? So the Lord's not in the wind. He's looking for this experience with God. Maybe God's going to move in the wind in a powerful way, but that's not it this time. So let's see what happens next. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The ground was shaking. It's a powerful experience. I mean, surely, right? If there's an earthquake, if the world is shaking, God's going to say something through that. And it brings to mind a guy named Luke, who was writing in the New Testament. He talked about the early church and how the Spirit of God was at work among the early followers of Jesus. And there's this one verse that he even uses in Acts 4:31. I've been to several youth conventions where this is like the verse. But it says this. Luke wrote this about the early church in the early days of the church. That the early followers of Christ were together. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All right, so we know here, Luke says that early days, God moves in a powerful way. And as he's doing it, the earth shakes. And then the Holy Spirit is poured out. So this shaking is God. What's going to happen next? What's the message in all this? And then it says next. It says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Okay. Kind of strange, you know, like you would think, you know, there's some sort of sign or something you could learn from a violent wind and an earthquake, but see what it says next. It says, after the earthquake came a fire. Fire. Now we're talking. I mean, God seems to like to speak through fire. Just think about Elijah's own life. Like just now, he just came from this mountaintop experience on Carmel where God sent fire from heaven. Once again, we see fire coming. God's sending fire again. I mean, you think back, I mean, Moses, how did God start Moses on his calling to go set the people of Israel free from slavery? It was a burning bush. It was a fire. And then after he led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and delivered them, he led them out with a cloud by day and a fire by night. Like, fire seems to be kind of God's thing, right? even after Elijah, you know, there's still more fire. We think of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fire, and they had a friend, a messenger of God, with them in the fire, and a powerful message to the king of Babylon and all, that their God could stay with them through the fire. And even as we think back again, maybe to Acts, like that, when God poured his spirit out among the early followers of Christ, it started with a wind. They heard the wind, just kind of like Elijah did. There was a powerful wind, and then there were these, they described them as tongues of fire that fell upon each person. And then there was wind there at Pentecost, and there was fire, and then there was the Holy Spirit, and it was powerful. So maybe God's doing something similar with Elijah, right? I mean, it would make sense. He seems to do that. Elijah's already had an experience, and he gets fire again. God's speaking to him through fire. But let's peek at what it says next. But the Lord was not in the fire. That's what it says. Now, I didn't put that in the slides, but that's what it says next. But the Lord was not in the fire. So thinking about that, okay, so the Lord is not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the earth, wind, and fire. How does that sound? All right, that's kind of a throw out to people my age, maybe, or a band. And the Lord's not in those things. Let's go ahead and see what he said, what it says next. And after the fire, a low whisper. A low whisper. Let's just take a moment to breathe that in, right? Breathe that in. Mountaintop experiences are really nice. They are. Like, I would just love to live on the mountain. Like, it seems to me like we're more than conquerors, right? So the life of following Christ, or when God directs people, it should be like mountaintop to mountaintop. You're just leaping from one mountaintop to another. It seems like, wouldn't it be nice if just every day was like Pentecost, where God's moving in this powerful way, and the emotions, you're getting goosebumps, and there are these really powerful days. But from what I read in the scriptures, especially about Jesus' life and other people who followed God in some way, and even from personal experience among myself and what I've seen from other person, it doesn't seem like God intended life to be one mountaintop experience to another. And that's a realization that is a little bit hard. I'm an adrenaline junkie. Like, I like highs. I like energy. But it doesn't seem like God intended life to be like that, one mountaintop experience to another. And it even seems like Elijah's pattern too, mountaintop experience at Carmel, crash. After the high comes the low. Like, I can relate to that. And I see that almost seems to be a pattern. Real high, high, real low, low. And I think, imagine the danger of this if God would have spoke to Elijah again with another high, like he did the fire from heaven, and it was dramatic and powerful and exciting. If he would have chosen to spoke through the, maybe that's part of it. He didn't speak through the spectacular this time. God didn't speak through the wind or the earthquaking or the fire. But God spoke in a way that was different. Now, we mentioned earlier that the wilderness, the valley, was quiet, and it was. But something that wasn't quiet was what was going on in Elijah's head. What was going on in Elijah's soul? His heart was heavy. It wasn't quiet. And God seemed to have to quiet him down through noise before he would be able to listen to the still small voice. I think maybe the danger, this is just a guess, this isn't any interpretation, this is me reading into a text, which you're not supposed to do. But even so, disclaimer, this is not something you're supposed to do, what I'm about to say. But I just wonder if God would have spoke again on the mountaintop something spectacular to Elijah, that if he would have been in danger of having like a bipolar, manic, depressive kind of a faith. And I say that not to mock it, because people, if you have bipolar or manic depression, it's real, it's tough. If you have a loved one, you know that it's a real thing where we need help, and it's not just you pray and it's over. But a lot of times our faith, the way that we go about things, mountaintop to mountaintop can produce bipolar. Like if we just need those mountaintops, high, low, high. And it's a tough pattern. And God seemed to not to do that with Elijah. So I know I hear a lot of times people say something like, I just want something spectacular to happen. Like, I want a revival to break. I want to see everybody else excited. I want to be a part of this just really spectacular thing. Because I think a lot of us, we want the spectacular. We want the Great Awakening 3. We want, you know, revival to break out in some way that's like loud and energetic. And I think probably Elijah would have preferred something spectacular too, like God to speak in some sort of loud, unmissable way. But instead, what we have is Elijah heard the still, small voice. It was a low whisper. So New King James uses still, small voice. New American Standard, I think, uses gentle blowing. There's low whisper. And the Hebrew word that we have, the mama, can mean silence, stillness, calmness. It's tricky when we're going ancient Hebrew to English, you know, to convey words where there's just not a great English equivalent. So translators have tried different ways to communicate, and we're not positive what the still small voice was. Was it silence? Was it stillness? Was it calmness? Was it a gentle whisper? But I think one thing that we can hopefully glean from Elijah and the way that God spoke, according to this story here, is that just because you don't hear a sound, it doesn't mean it's not there. Well, that's even a scientific statement. Just because you don't hear a sound doesn't mean it's not there. Even like we're kind of like our human ear. We can hear somewhere between 20 and 20,000 hertz. Like there's a spectrum of sound, and that's what we can hear. Now, some of us, like, the range changes a little bit, but really can't really hear much below 20. And that's the spectrum. Anything below 20, we call it infrasound. It's below what we can actually hear. It's still sound. We may not hear it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. And infrasound can cause us headaches. It can cause earthquakes. So God was using infrasound there in some way. It's how elephants know that a storm is coming. And it's how birds know where to go. Infrasound. Like that's a scientific discovery about sound that we can't hear that's still real and still there. And then the sound waves that are above the 20,000, we call it ultrasound. A lot of us have had surgery that's where non-invasive surgeries where surgeons use ultrasound. Seeing babies in the womb before they're born, ultrasound. It's sound, you can't hear it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. It's how submarines are detected. It's how buildings can be toppled. But ultrasound is something that's real. So is infrasound, and so is sound. One of the things that we know is that at low levels of sound, it can be almost imperceptible. Some sounds are just can be so low, we can almost not perceive it. And some high levels of sound, if it's a high level, it's unignorable. So what we have here, with whether God was speaking to Elijah with sonic sound or infrasonic or ultrasonic or even some other category of sound that we don't know about, that God was speaking to Elijah at the mountaintop with a low whisper. That was something like calmness, stillness, silence. And it was something closer to the scale of imperceptible than unignorable. It was something that Elijah had to be conditioned and ready to hear. It wasn't a can't miss kind of a thing. a low whisper. In the scriptures, which we sometimes even call the Word of God, talks a lot about sound. Talks about how God said, "Let there be light," and it was the sound. It was something about God saying, in the Genesis story, "Let there be light," and there was light. And there's all throughout, even John, as he opens up his gospel, he taps into Genesis and says, "In the beginning was the Word." So there's just something to us, the people of Scripture, thinking about like how to hear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So there's something about it. And according to the Scriptures, there is a day coming when the sound will be unignorable. Paul wrote about a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's unignorable. The way that the writers in Scripture describe Jesus coming back in a way that is unignorable. No one's going to miss it. But for right now, it seems that most often when God talks, he talks at a level that's closer to the imperceptible, that you got to turn your heart in to be able to see. And I think, you know, right off the bat, you're like, "God, I'd rather not miss it. I'd rather you speak so that we can't ignore it." But I think it's good news. I think this is good news for us right now, and here is why. When someone whispers to you, especially if they're wearing a mask, but if somebody whispers to you, what's the proximity of that person? I mean, there may be some acoustic exceptions to this. But in general, if you're in a regular place and somebody whispers to you, where are they in proximity? Close. You have to be close. If you are close and you shout, it's not going to be good. Yeah, you're going to want to. So like if you're, I see Doug back there at the back of the room to hear, and he's got his mask on. So for me to hear, if Doug was whispering, nothing. If he shouted, I could probably hear him because that's a close enough distance. But just the fact or the idea that God whispers or that God's voice is quieter, it indicates that God is close. What if God is closer than you think? What if even in the distance you feel, maybe you're in that valley like Elijah, and it's your there's war in your head, like it's loud, but you feel like God is quiet. What if God is closer than you think? Is God whispering right now? Now, maybe one of the whispers that you sense from God is that he is drawing you to him. He's drawing you to Christ. Because God's the only one who can do that. The Spirit of God can't be really a preacher or somebody else. It's God who draws us. It says when the Son of Man is lifted high, he's the one who draws people to himself. So if Christ is drawing you, whether it's maybe a first time, or maybe you've done it a million times, but you just sense God is speaking to you, wants to say something, or is calling you to follow, or you just simply want to follow, here's a prayer. And I invite you to pray this prayer quietly with me. God, speak to me. Help me to quiet down so I can hear whatever you are saying to me. I want to follow Jesus. Please send me your Spirit to guide my path. I belong to you, and I pray for your good, pleasing, and perfect will to be done in my life. Amen. About 2,000 years ago, there was someone named Saul who spent his early years just studying the Hebrew Scriptures. He knew them so well. And then as a young adult, he had this encounter with the risen Jesus and was called. And he dedicated his life to the study of those Scriptures as he was traveling all over the world, the places he could go, to plant the church and make disciples. And that's what he dedicated his life to. He was a man who knew the scriptures more than anybody here in this room. And one of the things that he said as an old man, getting ready to die and passing on his most important lessons to his protege, Timothy. He's had all this time to reflect, and he just wants to unload some wisdom that Timothy needs to trust in. And this is what he says about Scripture. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And God said, something like whispered, God breathed, let there be light. And there was light, right? The breath of God that gives life. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now notice he doesn't say all Scripture is God-screamed. He's not saying it's shouted, it's screamed, but he says all Scripture is God-breathed. So there's a lot of ways that God breathes and God speaks. And again, just because we don't hear a sound doesn't mean it's not there. There's sound all around us doing stuff that we're unaware of. But the challenge, I want to challenge you to seek God in this great scripture that we have, a great tool we all have access to, scripture. It's so easy to have a Bible. You can get one online for free, or people will give you one, but we have this great advantage that we have. We can even listen to them now for free. Like, there's this great way that God speaks, that God breathes, called scripture. So I want to encourage you to be trying to listen to God breathe in the scriptures. I think just seeking him in the morning, whenever great time for you is, but just to be intentional about trying to hear God breathe and seeing what God has for you. Now, we're going to, this next year, we're going to be more intentional about talking about seeking God and trying to read scriptures in a way where we're listening for what God's telling us, saying to us, and then trying to do it and pray about that. So what we're doing, and it kind of boils down to, is we're, as we look at scripture, we're praying, you know, for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Lord, Jesus, to speak to us and what we're looking at in the God-breathed scriptures. And then as we look at it or listen to it, or however you go about hearing or seeing, reading the scriptures, then just taking note of what stands out, what God seems to be saying, observing that, and then praying about God, what God would have you do with it. So it's basically listening to God is essentially what this is, listening to God and then doing what God is leading us to do. Just so you know, tomorrow I'm going to release a Facebook video. It's going to be on our church Facebook page, just about a method. It's just a method, but it's a good method about ways to study scripture in a way to grow as a disciple, to listen to God and do it. So you might want to check out our Meridian Church Facebook page, because we're just going to be starting to challenge each other on how to grow, how to listen to the word and do it. Because the goal of this place is not to get you to listen to me. It's not to get you to listen to Brandon. It's not to get you to listen to Katie or to Nathan or Ann or anyone who's on our staff or anyone who speaks. The goal is listening to what God has to say to us. Listening to God. The goal is making disciples who make disciples, because Jesus made this really powerful claim to you about listening. As he said, we'll close with this. He says, my sheep, those who belong to him, those who are following, those who are seeking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, holy is your name. In the beginning was the Word, and you breathed. You spoke creation into existence. It's in you that we live and move and have our being. We live in a noisy world where it can be really hard to hear what we need to hear. So, Word of God, speak. May we come near to you so that we can hear you whisper. May you breathe out words that will create new life in us. And please, use us to breathe out your Spirit into others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Get into this next song. We're going to have a few moments of maybe awkward, uncomfortable quiet, just to sit and be still for a few moments.